Being here again, the mathematical odds are like one in not just a million, but maybe one in a billion. So to make this clear, by remission of sin, we mean remission both of guilt and of pain. And there are some things, no matter how often we've heard them, they need to be repeated. We have a phrase in Latin, repetitio est mater studiorum. Repetition is the mother of instruction or of knowledge. My definition of a good teacher is one who can repeat without boring, keep repeating, look differently, raise your voice, use a different volume, but keep repeating. Remission means removing guilt, which means what? Means restoration of grace. And every time we've sinned, we've lost grace. Every time. And then depending on how sincere is our repentance, not only is the grace we've lost restored, but there can be even more grace. Who can finish the sentence of St. Paul? Where sin has abounded, there the grace will even more abound. But we've got to do our part. And secondly, remission of sin means removal of the pain that we've got coming. We've all got it just as well that the Lord has never shown us the ledger, page after page of pain that we owe Him. Oh no, Lord. Page 163, you mean there's more coming? Yes, my dear. Keep going. You've got pain to suffer. And what this sacrament does is remove, depending on the person's dispositions, more or less, and if possible, even all the suffering due to even forgiven sins. Secondly, in here, removal of temporal punishment, even complete. And this is where I know what I'm talking about. Years in the priesthood, I dealt with enough people who have suffered deeply, have suffered, are suffering very deeply. Late last night, a man, just chaos in his marriage, wife threw him out. Well, call me up. I just want to get some encouragement to keep going. And this is the formula. The sacrament of anointing can, and God wants it to, remove every vestige of pain that is due to our sins, provided during the years before we are anointed, we had patiently and willingly accepted pain from His hands. There's no trick. There are no bargain basements in the spiritual life. There are no gimmicks, no tricks. We will have as much of our punishment removed, say when we are anointed, as during our stay on earth, we have accepted the cross in our lives and not just not complained, but welcomed. And not being queer, believe me, I'm just being honest. I mean it. We go on. This sacrament provides us with supernatural patience. As we know, the noun patience in Latin, patientia, comes from the Latin verb pati, which means to suffer. You may be able to spell the word patience without suffering, but you cannot have the virtue of patience without suffering. Just assume if you want to have the virtue of patience, you must suffer. And patience is suffering willingly. And this is where, as we're facing eternity, God in His mercy has put enough people in their dying moments into my life to know what it means. First of all, depending on God's mercy, He may give us the privilege of suffering a great deal before we are called into eternity. And that is why so much of the talk, and I'm speaking of that state, which is, what word shall I say, hell-bent on avoiding suffering. The one state, as we know now, politically, has beaten Michigan, remember, for legally allowing voluntary suicide. There are nations where both suicide and the murder of people who are suffering is not only permitted, but encouraged, and hear it, and widely practiced by the medical profession in the United States. Widely practiced by the medical profession in the United States. The murder of suffering people. Let's keep our record straight. This sacrament, therefore, is meant to provide us with precisely what a person on the way to eternity needs: the strength to suffer, but suffer willingly. Again, supernatural trust in God's mercy. I hope I'll be clear what I'm going to share with you next. There are two kinds of joy that we can experience. There was the joy of a presently had satisfaction of desire. We are hungry. We sit down to a good meal. The meal we eat provides us with satisfaction. We are tired. We take a rest. provides us with satisfaction. However, there's another kind of joy, and that's the joy of not precisely experiencing present desires, presently satisfied, but rather the anticipation of future desires satisfied. The anticipation of future desires satisfied. As you reread the Beatitudes, and particularly the 8th Beatitude, it is remarkable how our Lord tells us, blessed, which means happy, made happy by God, are those, say, who are poor in spirit. Happy are the peacemakers. Well then, happy, Christ says, are those who suffer persecution. Why be happy? Because of the anticipated joy, because your reward in heaven is great. Let's burn this into our minds. As believing Christians, the deepest joy you are to experience is not the satisfaction of present desires. It is the confident hope we have based on faith that we shall have our desires satisfied. In other words, I've dealt with too many souls, God knows, by now thousands, not to know, and even some of the holiest people are still tempted to look for, well, some kind of paycheck from God here on earth. Now God is merciful. He will give us, thanks Lord, a certain amount of peace and satisfaction this side of eternity. But never, never measure your generosity with God by rewarding you with consolations or spiritual joys here on earth. Never. That is not Christianity. Let me tell you, we've been so brainwashed by the non-Christian culture in which we live, and believe you me, it is not just on, but anti-Christian. Then we read that the sacrament of anointing gives us supernatural trust in God's mercy, trusting that God is merciful. He not only will forgive us our sins, but that the reward He has in store for us is greater than anything in our wildest dreams we could ever expect this side of heaven. Watch it and hear it. Hope you hear it again. God's mercy is not only that He withholds the pain or the suffering that we have coming for our past sins. God's mercy is also the ecstatic, extraordinary, eternal joy that is in store for us who have repented of our sins. In other words, trusting God's mercy means not only that we are confident our sins have been removed, but we are confident that we shall be more rewarded, hear it, more rewarded in eternity for having repented than we would have been, hear it, had we not sinned. That's a large statement. And Christ allows us to see that, remember, when he tells us about the joy in heaven over one sinner doing penance, greater than over 99 who are just. Another effect of this sacrament, grace to resist the devil. I'm not sure how to do it, but if the Lord provides me to be within reachable distance of Ann Arbor next semester. A class in demonology. I'm not saying I will offer it. It would be a very, very enlightening course. It would be worth taking. A course on the evil spirit. The devil is constantly active, and the more a person has been faithful in doing God's will, the more anxious the devil is to break that person's loyalty to Christ. And the closer a person is to eternity, that's the devil's last chance. I've seen it. I've seen holy people. I'm not saying that God will allow everyone to be tempted this way, but I've seen it. Holy people tempted by the devil, as I'm sure they had never been tempted before in their lives, especially tempted to discouragement, even to despair. And one way to prepare ourselves for the grace of resisting the devil when we face eternity is to never, and the other is never, give in to discouragement or worry or anxiety during life. This is the formula of the evil spirit. Those who want to serve God faithfully, no exception. God allows the devil to tempt such people, especially to worry, anxiety, and even to despair. I did not bring with me, though I might have, a very fine art that I just received in the last about 3 weeks. Well researched. Pleading for doing some work with teenagers. Every second, so my research piece told me, every second, to be exact, every 1.1 second, a teenager in the United States attempts suicide. And every 80 minutes of every year, a teenager succeeds and takes his life. I told you my record at Western Michigan was 3 suicides in 2 weeks among my students. And we who have survived the present revolutionary age, dear God, let us make sure we know there are millions who are struggling even to remain physically alive. What is there to life unless from children on people have the faith? And thus, the sacrament provides extraordinary grace needed, I assure you, as we face eternity, to trust that God is merciful and to resist the evil spirit. And finally, the restoration of bodily health, if it is for the person's spiritual good. As I said, the church teaches his restoration of bodily health is certain. As we read the Gospels, Christ worked one miracle after another, and he foretold he would continue working miracles, remember, to those who believe. Well, he does work miracles. In fact, he has instituted a sacrament to work miracles. Do you still hear me? The sacrament of anointing is the institute or instituted sacrament for miraculous healing, provided it is God's will. Over the years, my Jesuit confreres have been chaplains at Cook County Hospital. Around the clock, one Jesuit priest, 8 hours, another one takes his place. By now it must be 50 years they've been chaplains. I came to know one of these chaplains well, so I asked him, "By now you must have anointed many people." "Would you say there are some occasional miracles, miraculous cures?" He laughed. "I've stopped counting. Against all medical expectations, anointed people recover. Not all, but according to God's will." This is the sacrament of healing. And the person is in danger of death, as he might well be, it would then be miraculous healing. Now tell people, expect miracles. This is a sign of your faith. Okay? Expect miracles. And then God will work them. Notice I distinguish between my literal translation above, and the ICEL translation below. "For the forehead, through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit, amen. And then for the hands, may the Lord, who frees you from sin, save you and raise you up, amen." What I gave you above is a literal translation from the Latin. what I'm giving you here is the official formula that is now used by priests when they anoint. And then something about new provisions. The sickness need not necessarily be a fatal illness, but it should be grave. And watch this, not merely to justify the sacrament of anointing, but to make it valid. Again, frequency depends on the need. You don't just anoint people, say, every month on the month. There should be a special need. As say, a person has lapsed into a further degree of illness. Thirdly, surgery. If for grave illness, this, by the way, is a change from the policy before Vatican II. In other words, before Vatican II, surgery per se, just by itself, did not justify anointing. It had to be an illness which then would warrant the surgery, but then the anointing was given because of the sickness and not precisely because of the surgery. Now, any grave surgery will justify and ensure validity of the anointing. Then the aged. Fifth, children with the use of reason. To be validly anointed, a child must have reached the age of reason. 5 years old, I would hazard a guess. Can a child be less than 5 years old and reach the age of reason? I think I was 3 years old. All I know is, remember, being whipped by my mother on the kitchen floor. If you stop screaming, Johnny, I'll stop whipping. My reason told me, stop screaming. See if it works. It worked. The faithful should be taught. In teaching priests, they should be taught, the priests, to teach the people to seek for, ask for, want to be anointed. Then we have explained how unconscious persons should be anointed. I think by now I've given the story about a woman. 8 hours as a cake of ice, remember, in Chicago. And yet, police took that cake of ice. Luckily, they didn't take her to the morgue. The cake of ice was thawed out. Blood began to flow. She began to breathe. And, well, she survived. And having worked as chaplains in hospitals, there were some hospitals where the chaplains just did not take the DOAs coming in during the night. And regularly, I just got no sleep. Busy downtown hospital. The DOAs come in all night. So what? Anoint them. My first anointing was of a girl shot through the head by her lover. She gave up. One man, if he couldn't get her, so he killed her. My first anointing. A person apparently that should nevertheless be anointed, unless or until you're absolutely sure. And legal brain death is no guarantee of being really dead. And nowadays, in one diocese after another, they're distributing documents you sign. And they call them living wills. I know I'm speaking in public. I could not in conscience sign those myself. Apparently dead people, therefore, the medical profession is so eager to have people declare death. And therefore, we should be sure as we can be, that our soul has really left the body. Otherwise, there is no risk of a person being still alive, even though legally there may be such a thing as brain death. Number 9, it is not uncommon and is encouraged where more than one priest is available to have concelebrated celebration of the liturgy 490, more than one priest participating in the sacrament. Finally, the oil. Normally, that should be spelled normally, olive oil blessed by the bishop. However, in case of need, any vegetable oil blessed by any priest is valid matter, 490. And just for the record, an apostate priest, when laicized, forbidden to ever say Mass, he may both validly absolve and validly anoint. Good to hear. In any case, the Church wants to make sure that we all have the opportunity, before we enter eternity, to have been freed from our sins. And with that, let's take our 15-minute break. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.